Lord God, as I preach the word, your word, I wish to be faithful. I pray that your spirit will be upon me and upon each one of us as we listen and interact with the word. But our prayer, as always, is that our minds and our hearts and our lives will be shaped by word and spirit. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, and we are following the readings in an ancient lectionary that goes back at least to the 6th century. And I confess that the connection between today's gospel lesson about the healing of the daughter of a Canaanite woman and the epistle lesson, that's a call to holiness, the connection there escapes me, if there is one, and why it was put together on this Sunday, I don't know. But I have chosen to preach on the epistle lesson, the call to holiness, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, you might be wondering, though, about that story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman. So I'm just going to say two things briefly about that story. First is, trust Jesus. Even when it seems odd in the way he behaves, trust Jesus. It may be that he knows what he is doing. So cut him some slack. Trust Jesus. Second thing I want to say about that story is, don't presume upon God's grace as if God's grace were something he owes. Wouldn't be grace if he owed it. You might want to think about that in connection to that story. But the reason I want to focus on 1 Thessalonians 4 is that Paul is saying something there that is important for the church to hear in our day. It's something we tend not to hear in our day. In fact, I think Paul in that text is a voice crying in the wilderness. Nobody talks like this anymore. We live in a day when we are urged to follow our dreams, to follow our passions, to put behind us old restrictions and boundaries. In fact, there are hardly any boundaries today. We can do anything we want. We can be anything we want. Almost anything goes. Pleasure, self-fulfillment are everything. Desire is king. If I want it, it must be good. That's the ethos of our day. And then we hear Paul saying to young Christians in the wild Greek city of Thessalonica, this is the will of God, your sanctification, meaning your steady growth into holiness. And then a little later in the text, we hear Paul saying, God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness. And he says what he is teaching came from Jesus. So the first thing I want you to hear from this text this morning is that we have a call to holiness. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, then you have a call to holiness, as do I. Holiness is part of the deal of being one of Jesus' people. It's here in 1 Thessalonians. These young Christians who live in a wild city, a city where temple prostitution was normal. Temple prostitution involves sexual relations with a temple prostitute. A world where men had concubines, mistresses, and it was normal. People abused slaves, it was normal. These young Christians are expected to live differently, to be holy. But if you are alert, you'll notice the call to holiness is all through Scripture. When slaves in Egypt are rescued and become God's people, they are told by God, Be holy, for I am holy. It's Leviticus 11. And when prophets plead with Israel to change her ways, it's always because Israel is not reflecting the character and the holiness of God. That's always why the prophets take issue with the people. Israel was to be a light to the nations, to change the way the nations lived and conceived even of life. For Israel to do that, to be a light to the nations, she would have to be different, reflecting the character and the holiness of God. In the New Testament, we hear Peter, good old Peter, who failed Jesus so badly and yet was restored. We hear Peter saying, like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Could he be serious? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord? That's scary. Or Jesus' own words, Matthew 5:48, middle of the Sermon on the Mount, to disciples. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We followers of Jesus have a call to holiness. Are you feeling a bit uneasy? I am when I read these verses. I don't want to take away your uneasiness, at least not completely. But I would remind you that we are not saved by our holiness. If we were, no one would be saved. We're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus. Through faith in the Jesus who died for our sins, who was buried, who was raised on the third day, a victor over death, over sin, and over evil. The Jesus who is Lord and Savior. And in Christ, in one sense, we are already holy as our lives are linked to His. We're not saved by holiness, but we're saved for holiness. The miracle of forgiveness and new birth in the Spirit that follow loyalty to Christ create a space where moving toward holiness becomes possible, and it becomes desirable, and it becomes sweet. We begin to long for holiness because we've been touched by God, and we long for God, and we long for God's ways and His life. We've tasted something better. But make no mistake, we have a call to holiness. Having been touched by God, saved by God, we have a call to holiness, a call that needs to be recovered in our self-indulgent day. Our holiness matters, matters to God, matters to us. That's my first point. We have a call to holiness. But second, what exactly is holiness? I want to try this novel image on you. Holiness is finding the sweet spot in life. Holiness is finding the sweet spot in life. I don't know if you know that expression, sweet spot, but a baseball bat has a sweet spot and a golf club has a sweet spot. And every once in a while, when you swing really hard and you catch the ball just right and it really goes, you have this sense that I caught it on the sweet spot. And it's good. What a joy when that happens. Just so, holiness is finding the sweet spot in living. When you attempt to love someone, or to serve in some way, or simply to listen to someone, or to care, and you find that you've forgotten about yourself, and it comes out just right, you've found the sweet spot. And it is a holy moment when that happens. It is very good. You've tasted holiness and you feel almost like you're in the presence of God when that happens. Holiness is not primarily about law-keeping or rule-keeping. Though God has helped us to find the sweet spot in living by showing us the boundaries, places where it definitely is not found, out of bounds. But if our struggle for holiness is primarily a fighting with those boundaries, we've rather missed the point. Remember, we're made in the image of God to care on God's behalf for one another and for His creation. That's Genesis 1 and 2. We're made to reflect God's goodness, His good character, into the world in our relationships with people, in our relationships with all of creation. That's holiness when we get it, when God's image truly lives in us and God cares for others and cares for the world through us. Of course, we've messed up badly from the first disobedience in the Garden of Eden, wanting to be God instead of reflecting the character and the image of the one true God. And the deceiver has a lot to do with that, still does. But God would get us back on track to recover our intended purpose, to reflect His image into the world in our caring for people, for creation. Another way of seeing this is, in Jesus' image, picture two roads. One is narrow and difficult, not very many people on it. Another is wide and easy, and all kinds of people are on it. But Jesus said that wide, easy road is leading over a cliff. There is no life down that road. But down the narrow, difficult road, there is life. But here's our conundrum. Can we really believe that Jesus' way, the way of service, of dying to self and living for Jesus and for others, the way of suffering love, the way of forgiving others even when they've hurt us deeply, the way of taking the low places that no one else wants, can we really believe that there is more life down that road than down that other road that our desires tell us to take? Feels so natural down that other road. Can we really believe that life lies down that narrow road that Jesus prescribes for us? In our text, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-7, Paul applies this appeal to holiness first to the area of sex. In a city where anything went when it came to sex. And these young Christians are learning the way of Jesus. And Paul says, in spite of what everybody else is doing, holiness, the sweet spot, is found in marriage faithfulness. The union of a man and a woman for life. That is the sweet spot. This goes back to God's design in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Paul will go on in the next part of the letter to talk about holiness in our work, what it looks like. Then holiness in facing death. And we can find throughout Scripture how holiness will look in the many areas of life, many spheres of life. But it's all simply filling out our call to bear the image of God in life, to reflect His character and His holiness. So the pursuit of holiness is to recover the life we're meant to live. And as we do, as we find the sweet spot, it is very, very good. So that's the second point. Holiness is finding the sweet spot, bearing the image of God. We're called to holiness. That's what it looks like. Third point. How do we get there? How do we pursue holiness? How do we find that sweet spot? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." That means making progress toward holiness. It's a process, a journey, with a goal at journey's end. a goal that the Bible assures us we will reach. Paul says it right at the end of this letter, 1 Thessalonians. He prays for the Thessalonians at the end, and he prays, may the God of peace sanctify you or make you holy completely. And then he says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And when God is finished making all things new, he will have a holy people. Finding the sweet spot in living, pursuing holiness, involves a mysterious and strange combination of what God does through his Spirit and what we are called to do, to pursue it. Now, salvation is all of God. We simply open our hands and receive it. But the pursuit of holiness involves our effort along with God's enabling. We can count on God to do his part. What's our part? Three simple tips. One, in pursuing holiness, immerse yourself in Scripture and develop a life of prayer. Every one of you can do that. Immerse yourself in Scripture. Begin to pray it. Read the Bible with an eye on the character and purposes of God. The more we see God clearly, the more we will see the life God calls us to. The more our hearts will awaken to that life. Immersing ourselves in Scripture also helps us to see the boundaries where the good life isn't found, outside those boundaries. And it helps us to see through the devil's schemes that deceive us into going there out of bounds. That's the first thing. Immerse yourself in Scripture and prayer. You can do it. Second tip, find community. And Sunday morning worship isn't enough. We need people in our lives, sisters and brothers in Christ, who will inspire us to keep living this life, who will hold us accountable, who will walk beside us and live out this life with us. There is no holiness outside of community. There really isn't. There is no holiness outside of community. Third tip. First one, immerse yourself in Scripture and pray it. Second, community. Third tip, find things to do. I've learned from my times of personal discouragement, and I've learned from trying to counsel people pastorally who are discouraged or depressed, that talking about it only takes you so far. And the best thing you can do when you're discouraged is to go do something for somebody else. Go volunteer at Wascana Rehabilitation Hospital or a nursing home or Souls Harbor or Youth for Christ, or go help a new immigrant learn English. In giving to others whose need is greater than our own, our stuff kind of dims in importance and we find life beginning to flow in us again, even the sweet spot. So find some things to do for Jesus. In fact, I think we make the most progress in holiness when we stop thinking about it and simply do things for other people. One more thought. We have a call to holiness. It's something like finding the sweet spot in life of recovering the image of God and living it out, reflecting his character. And we do that by immersing our life in Scripture, by finding community, by finding things to do. But one more thought. Holiness is our gift to the world. Jesus' church has two great things to offer the world. We can't outcompete with the world when it comes to bells and whistles. We can't compete when it comes to entertainment, to shock and awe, to technical wizardry. There are only two things that Jesus' church offers the world that nobody else offers. The first is the gospel. That strange, life-giving message that Jesus died for our sins. That he was buried. That he was raised to life, a victor over death and over sin and over evil. And he is Lord and Savior of the world, making all things new. A new world under his lordship is being born. That message will be thought to be foolishness by some, a scandal, terribly offensive to others. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. To those who believe, it brings life, salvation. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the gospel is our first gift to the world. But our second gift to the world is our holiness. You know, in a world where people are never satisfied, always want something more, something bigger, something newer, something better. In a world where boundaries are torn down, particularly sexual boundaries, but boundaries in just about every area of life, where moderation is no longer seen as a virtue, nor self-restraint. In a world where self is king, we followers offer the world a different life. We model a different life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a people who live simply? A people who are characterized by peace and contentment. A people who suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune without complaint. A people who love each other deeply and serve those around them. A people who work hard, who worship always, whose relationships are characterized by faithfulness and endurance and honor. A people who care for creation. A people who live in the hope of a coming world, in fact, who live as if that world were already here. Can you imagine a holy people? That's why God wants us to be holy. For our sake, so that we'll know life, know Him, but for the world's sake, that it will know that there's a better way and a better king. I've titled this message, Recovering the Call to Holiness, because I fear holiness is a calling we've largely lost sight of. That's what struck me as I studied this text. And we've also largely lost sight of coming judgment, which is also in our text. I don't know if you noticed it when Ben read it. It's in verse 6. The Lord is an avenger of these things, Paul wrote. The Lord is an avenger of these things. Paul is saying, don't think you can harm other people with impunity. Don't think God doesn't see and won't act. We may not like to think of God as judge, as an avenger. Some of you will know there are movies called The Avengers. You may have seen some. I saw one when I was out visiting my step-grandsons in Langley. They feature superheroes like the Hulk and Thor and Captain America, a bunch of others. And these superheroes face evil, and they set things right, and we cheer them on. We're good with that. We're not so good with God being an avenger. Curious, that is. This world's rebellion against God will not continue forever. The holy, loving God who reaches out in mercy in Jesus Christ will one day end all evil, and He will set things right. And holiness, life lived in the sweet spot, will characterize a world made right. Our call, your call, my call, is to learn this life now. For our sake, this is life, but for the world's sake, before it is too late. So this morning, please hear God's call. To you, to be holy, to be fully human, bearing the image of God. Be holy.